Hello there, and welcome back to the Customer Success Collective podcast, CS School. I'm your host, Grace, and today we'll be joined by Jessica Lensley, Director of Customer Success at Apprise. Jess, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you so much, Grace. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be speaking on our topic today.
Oh, I'm really thrilled to have you on because, you know, this is the podcast where we try to speak to as many CS professionals from all over the world and really get a nuanced idea of what customer success is like today. You know, it's 2024, you know, what are the new developments, and really trying to think, you know, sort of speak to professionals like yourself and really pick your brains. And hopefully a lot of these insights are going to be, you know, have a huge impact on lots of listeners out there. So really excited, and especially today, because this topic is so important. And I know I say this at the beginning of every podcast, but this really is, like, we're going to be talking about onboarding your new CSM hires, and I'm really excited to hear from you. But before we crack on, would you mind just giving, for our purpose of our listeners, let them know a little bit about you, what your kind of role looks like at Apprise, and, you know, how you got into customer success?
Yeah, of course. So I started within the customer success field about 13 years ago, and it was when it sort of became a buzzword and trying to figure out what it would mean at a company. And I stuck with it. So I was an individual contributor for quite some time. I eventually went into team lead roles and then went into management and leadership full time, which is what I'm super passionate about and why I take onboarding so seriously. I think it's just as important for my employees to feel like they are being onboarded just the way that we would treat customers, right? We want them to have an amazing experience, to be excited, and that we're setting them up for success right off the bat. So it's something that I have implemented here at Apprise, where I am the Director of Customer Success. I have a team of 8, and I'm super passionate about, you know, ensuring that they are set up not just within the first 90 days, but going forward as well.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I think you really hit the nail on the head. Like, it is such an important, I think, just back up again. I think because we talk about client onboarding or customer onboarding as like, it's a very make or break point, isn't it? And if you don't get that right, it has massive ramifications across the customer's journey. But if you don't onboard your new hires, right, that's not going to, you know, it's going to have a knock-on effect. So I think it's so important to talk about this more, because it's something that we definitely haven't spoken enough about of at Customer Success Collective. And I'm really interested to sort of have this conversation with you today. So
me too. I'm excited.
Brilliant. So I guess for this podcast, let's kick things off. There's no point shying away. Letting our listeners know how you would approach onboarding a new customer success manager at Apprise, you know, as a customer success leader. You know, I'm sure you've gone through that a lot. You know, are there any sort of, like you said, you mentioned the first 90 days, like, what are the key goals and milestones that you would aim for?
Yeah, so before they join, I like to ensure that they know they're coming into. So I always send a welcome email, and it includes their welcome packet as well as a really nice document that outlines what to expect in the first 90 days. And it's pretty granular. I break it down from, you know, your first week, which is just getting your tech set up and, you know, ensuring that you have access to all of our systems. And then the first 30 days, you know, where do you go to? What systems are we set up on? What product offerings should you review? You know, those online videos, which I know sometimes can seem a bit boring, but just as important to kind of have those resources linked to them, that spreadsheet. So just so they feel very organized, and that most importantly, we are prepared for them to join and we're excited for them to be here. And they're not just coming into it without any resources or kind of like walking into the unknown. I think it's a little bit intimidating to start a new job. You get a little nervous and you don't know what to expect. And I want them to know what's coming and have a lot of support. So I also assign an onboarding buddy from the team, and I introduce them in that welcome email. So they know, oh, great, that's my go-to person. I'll have an additional line of support my first, you know, 90 days as well. So I think it's just important upfront to let them know, hey, we know when you're starting, we're super excited. Here are all the materials that you'll have. Here are this awesome teammate that you'll be working with. And I think that gives them a lot of reassurance coming into it.
No, absolutely. So do you send that email? This is me just being curious. Do you send that email before they actually their first day?
Yeah, I usually send it a week before they start. I mean, I also want to be cognizant that they might be offboarding from another job and they have lives outside of work. But I also want them to know that I've been pre-planning for them to join, and it's not just first day, here's all your materials. I also include in that welcome email if they're going into one of our local offices, the address, the resources that'll be there to meet them. I'll set up a welcome lunch, all of their initial calls, so they get a bunch of invites when they first join. That way they know, again, like, we've been planning, we're excited, and we have a path for your success here.
Can I have you as my manager? You sound fantastic.
Thank you.
No, there is so, but thing is, like, a joke, but that we think we've all had jobs where we've started and felt like for the first 2 weeks we've been like, what am I supposed to be doing here?
Yeah. And I myself have experienced that. You know, I've worked at large companies and small companies, and with startups, you know, typically they don't have onboarding, and that's normal for the size of a company. You know, it's under 50 people or so. So I've definitely shown up, and it was like, okay, kind of just throwing things at you. And that can be, you know, a little intimidating. I think it's helpful when you have something mapped out for them, so they feel that they have something to go off of and it's organized. And again, it's also helpful to the internal team, right? You're getting this person ramped up faster. And so it's a benefit to everyone else with the organization as well.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of like ROI, you'll be getting that employee ROI a lot faster. And also it sort of sets a cadence. Like if you go into a job and like you said, everything, look, it's not like they've realized the day before that you're starting, which again, I'm sure lots of people have experienced that. You know, and it feels like, okay, this is how it's done at this company. This is how I'm going to take that attitude and that sort of that organization, etc. But
yeah, it definitely sets the tone, I think, right up front that, you know, we are prepared, we have everything put together, and that's how we operate. And I think that's super helpful and reassures them that they joined the right company.
Yeah. I mean, and like you just mentioned before, having those kind of clear goals and milestones really provide that structure, I think, and quite a, you know, it's a not an uncertain time per se, but it's new and there's a lot of moving parts. So, you know, and you're not going to get very far if you're not being sort of properly introduced to the role, introduced to the other, you know, your other stakeholders you'll be working with. But speaking of which, I was kind of thinking, what, you know, and with you need to have those resources, because I mean, it's not I know we're specifically talking about customer success here, but this isn't a customer success problem. It's a, you know, it's a worldwide problem where you don't have what you need to be able to perform a job, because like customer success, you could be a customer success team lead or whatever. You could be whatever job title, you're doing it for, you know, 5 years or so, and you go to a new company. And I mean, customer success is a great example, because no matter how long you've been doing it for, you could be dropped into a new company and it's an entirely different experience. It's a different product, it's a different customer. It's a different, you know, it could be non-SaaS. It could be not, you know, so having those resources, I'm sure, are just like so vital. So what kind of, I'm quite curious to know, what kind of resources or training documents or programs do you have in place for this process, like at Apprise or in previous roles?
Yeah. So I've been able to kind of carry over what I've built out at other companies to each company I go to. But like you said, every company does customer success a little bit differently, or whatever role you're walking to, because this does apply, onboarding applies to everything. But I make sure to outline, you know, what are our roles and responsibilities here? And we have playbooks that are built out, so they can actually refer to those step by step. What is our process? What do we do each day? Now, reading something is not as, I think, meaningful when you first start as actually going through it with someone live. So I set up a lot of sessions with members of the team and their onboarding buddy, so they get pieces of our steps within the first 30 days. So they understand the process first. And then I kind of go more into the product. I think it's important that they understand what their day-to-day is going to be like, learn a little bit about the product, and then within the next 60 days, really dig into the product, meet our product team, our engineers, and just start to feel more acclimated with the technical stuff. So I start with, you know, systems, then process, and then product. I think that is the right flow because they understand what am I working within, how am I doing it, and then what are we supporting and how do my customers use it? And I think it's more digestible that way.
No, that sounds brilliant, actually. I think that's a really clear-cut, well-defined, and there's a lot of rationale behind it. So, yeah, I think that'd be really helpful for anybody particularly who's perhaps going about this for the first time. That's, I think really helpful.
I also feel, you know, it's important for them to understand who else they work with outside of customer success. So I set up a lot of initial calls with the teams that we work with quite often. So anyone we do cross-collaboration with, sales leaders, marketing. I mean, CS is pretty much at the center of any company. So we work with everyone. So I'll set them up with a finance resource, like I said, product and engineering, just so they feel like they know who to go to for things and they're not operating in, again, the unknown of, you know, who are my resources? Who should I leverage for this? So I set up a lot of internal meetings too in their first 90 days.
That's really interesting because that kind of leads me on to my next question, which I was thinking about. So it's all about giving them the resources or the tools to perform their job from the get-go. But, you know, nowadays, so many teams are working remotely. And I guess where before, I mean, I guess you can, you know, we've all, again, like I said, we've all been there. We've all been in an office and still felt like we haven't been properly onboarded. Like it's not a unique experience, but onboarding remotely, and if you're remote, you know, we're both remote, or your new direct report, your new team member's remote, you know, that's a whole different element to this process. So it's a challenge. It might be a challenge for some, but you know, in an environment that's very self-directed, you know, it's very self-paced, you know, they've been, how do you And that sort of ties back to what you were saying about having meetings with the sales team and marketing team. Whereas before, I guess you would be able to just, you know, have a quick, you know, if you, you know, introduce yourself in person and have a quick 5 minutes, but that's not possible now. So in many cases anyway, for the people who choose to work remotely. So how do you go about that? How would you ensure that your new hires are progressing effectively in a new remote setting?
A great point. And ironically, I have primarily onboarded all of my team remotely and globally too. Yeah. So I have currently in my role today, members of my team in Ghent, as well as Singapore, and then in the States. So we, and Canada. So we are all over. And so making sure the onboarding is very, very organized and clear, and that they also have things they can do that are self-paced, but as well as things where they can set up meetings and know who to go to. So again, outlining that document is super important because you lose that coffee chat. You know, it's very difficult to just swing by and say, hey, you know, you just lose that. So I think with remote onboarding, you just have to be very mindful that it needs to be a little bit more organized and set up front, and make sure that you also coach those people who are going to be talking to your new hire. That they should share how do we work together and what can they go to you for? And also, what are your expectations of them? I think that's super helpful right up front.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think there's probably quite a weight normally on, you know, setting up a meeting. You're going to speak to this person, you'll be working with a while. And then again, I've been on these calls where there's not, and maybe not that useful because no one really knows what they're supposed to be saying. So a bit of direction, like you just said, from the salesperson or from the product developer, you know, would go, you know, and what I guess, because like you said, these cross-functional relationships are key. Like they're, you know, you're not going to get very far without them as a CSM. So how do you facilitate these connections? And are there any, like particularly like blunders to avoid, like are there any things that you should definitely, if you're going through this process for the first time, or perhaps you're looking to revamp the way you onboard your new hires, like when you're introducing your new hire to, so that's a very convoluted question, when you're introducing your new hire to these other teams, what should you avoid and what should you try to do, do you think?
Yeah. So, you know, I do have the call set up for them in advance, and it's typically with the same people during the onboarding, unless we're adding a new collaboration or someone new has joined. I always let them know up front, hey, this is our new hire. I would love for you to talk to them about how we partnered together and maybe go over like XYZ project. I'll list out certain things because I'll say, you know, they're either going to be working through that through the process or tied to this project, just so that they know what to cover with them as well. I think it's great to have warm introductions and get to know people on a little bit of a personal level, but also to give them value in that call and understanding of how do we work together and when would we collaborate. And that then they have that resource and they've also made that connection. And I think it's super helpful to make those upfront when you join the company.
Absolutely. No, you hit the nail on the head there. Thank you for sharing that. Just thinking in terms of the first few weeks or so, they're so critical. But this ties back to what we were just saying about, you know, you want it, it makes financial sense to onboard your new hires well and efficiently so that they can get in and get stuck in doing the job that they're hired to do. And that's not to say rushing it, but what should new CSMs perhaps focus on learning to sort of ramp up quickly, you know, sort of flipping it a little bit, you know, what can a new hire do themselves, would you say?
I would say they should walk into it with an open mind, be very curious. And I always tell them up front too, this is a working document, right? So you as a new joiner are going to have a different perspective than the last person who went through this. So if something is missing, or maybe it's not necessary, like you didn't get value out of that, we should adjust it. And so we constantly are, you know, changing the documentation, adding to it, taking away, because their feedback is super important and we're evolving all the time. So I always tell them up front, please, you know, you feel like this isn't getting you value or I'm missing anything on here, let's add it or take away. I also tell them to be super, super curious and ask a lot of questions. Nothing is silly. We're not going to think, what are you talking about? Why are you asking this? It's the perfect time to just ask away and ask within our Slack channels, email whoever you need, let me know what you need. You know, I forgot to mention this, but their first few weeks, I meet with them almost every other day, sometimes daily, even for like a quick 15 minutes. Like, hey, what did you get done today on your onboarding sheet? Because again, I'm doing this remotely. And do you have any questions? Just so they feel overly supported. I think it's super important that they know I am here for them. They have the support they need and they can just ask away. So I think that's very helpful up front because then they don't feel like they're sort of operating alone in this new role at their desk at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there is something a little scary about starting a brand new job with I don't know how big, you know, this hypothetical company is, but there's something a bit scary about doing that remotely. So I think, and you would have those 5 minutes, you would have like a 5 minute catch up every day if you're in the office. So why would you not do that remotely? I guess I think something that probably lots of listeners will be thinking about. So before we discussed, you know, the systems, what was the three steps you refer to? System, getting to use the
process
system.
Process and then product.
Process and product. Yeah, absolutely. The product thing, I think, is something that is always, I guess it's a bit of a contentious topic because customer success managers have to know the product inside out, but they're not product managers. Like there's, you know, then that's a different role, but I think sometimes they are definitely expected to be product managers, but that's a whole other thing. That's probably for another episode, but there's probably a huge amount of pressure, I would imagine. I don't know. I'm not a customer success manager, but starting a new job and thinking, right, I need to learn about this product. I need to understand our customer workflows. I need to get up to speed on these processes, you know, to be able to effectively do my job. But there's a lot. I mean, you'll know this, you know, starting any new company, you know, it takes a while to get on fully on board and understand. It might even take like a few months to be like, that's how that works. But so how deep in the weeds should your new CSM hires get, do you think? What's that kind of time frame a bit like? Because I can imagine it could be quite overwhelming, but at the same time, you do want to get that ROI.
Yeah, I kind of measure it in percent. So I would say by 90 days, they should feel like 75% comfortable with the system, process, and product. But that other 25% is going to take a lot of time. And it depends on what the company does, right? If it's really, really technical, it might take you a year to feel really comfortable speaking on your own on calls with customers. Or it might take you 3 months. You know, it depends on what the offering is. I would just say not to put too much pressure on themselves to know everything. It's okay to get on a call and say, hey, I'm new to the company, or I've never, even if you're, you know, now 6 months in or 8 months in, I don't know the answer to that. And I will find out and get back to you. I think it's okay to do that. I think putting too much pressure on it, it's going to make things not as enjoyable. So just knowing who your resources are, who are the product managers you could go to for questions. And then from a leadership perspective, having documentation for them on the product that they could just pull up on a call, you know, like if it's a battle card or just a one pager on common questions, I think having those ready for them is also super helpful. That way they know, hey, if I am on a call alone, I don't know the answer, they could do some quick research and pull that up. Or again, just say, hey, I'll get back to you. But I would say around 75% ready the first 90 days, knowing that there will be things you're constantly learning each day.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think you mentioned something really important there. It sounds like what you're describing is creating quite a sustainable, I'm going to say a lot of buzzwords here, and I don't normally go for those, yeah. So apologies. Like quite a sustainable ecosystem for this role. So rather than just thinking, a new hire going in and being like, oh God, I've got to know X, Y, and Z, and I don't really know who to go for, but, you know, because you've told them who they can go to ask questions. You've told them the people, the stakeholders they can go to. You provided the documents. If you're in a job and you feel like that amount of pressure and you feel like I can't ask anybody about this, you're going to put pressure on yourselves and on a customer call, potentially even just like providing correct information because you feel like you have to, you should know the answers. Whereas what you've described is, seems like a much more sustainable way of, helping them be a better version of their job. That's ended that quite weakly there. I was going there.
I think that's definitely right. I want it to be sustainable. I want it to be also accessible and something that, like, just in the way that we set up customers for success, I should be setting up them for success, right? So it should be a path that is manageable, that's scalable as we grow. And so I'm very mindful of that. You know, if someone's brand new to a company, they're not going to know the product in and out right off the bat. So it's just going to take a lot of time. And I think also reassuring them of that is important too. And then what I often do is when they ask me questions and I know there's a resource, I will just send that to them and say, hey, we have this, or you should go to this person. And I think those little reminders of where to go for what, eventually over time, it just becomes second nature and they know what to do.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's down to those expectations and sort of, yeah, definitely setting them up front. But to flip the script a little bit, we've been talking about what CS leaders should do for new hires, but, you know, imagine you are a new hire yourself, a new customer success manager, listening to this episode. What questions would you like your new CSMs to be asking during their onboarding? I know we touched on that a little bit, but, you know, are there any key ones that you feel encouraged? You'd be like, they're going to be a good one because they feel like they're, you know, asking the right questions.
Yeah, I've found when they ask, you know, right off the bat, like, what is going to make me the most successful? Or what are your expectations of me? You know, how can I get through this quickly but effectively? Who can I go to? When they start asking like questions, you know, almost daily, and I know they're going through the document, because again, it's remote, so I'm also not a micromanager. I'm not good at that. So I'm expecting that you're going through the onboarding and you're checking off the boxes and you're asking questions when you need help. If they're too quiet, then I become concerned, because you should have a lot of questions up front, right? And if you don't, then either I didn't put the right documentation together, or I'm not supporting you in a way that's going to make you successful. So I think, you know, being overly curious, asking lots of questions is a green flag. If they're quiet and they keep saying, everything's good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, then I'm worried a little bit if they truly are. And they're just too shy to maybe tell me they need more help.
Yeah, I was going to say that must be a bit of a tricky position to be in, because especially when you're remote, because you don't have that, there's a lack of visibility, isn't there? How would you, sorry, going off topic, off piece a bit, but how would you kind of go about that if you've got a new hire that perhaps, not going radio silent, but there is slight seeds of, oh, are they getting on okay, or that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I would, I'm very direct, so I would just flat out ask, you know, I find it interesting that you're not asking a lot of questions. So are you really getting value out of this? Is there something missing? You know, normally at this point, people are asking about X, Y, Z, and I'll just give examples of things that commonly come up and kind of dig in there more, because again, maybe there's something missing from the onboarding that, you know, that's why they're not asking questions, or they might need more direction on what to do each day. And that's completely fine. We might probably have to get more granular with what they're doing.
No, you raise a really good point there. I think that's it's a tricky situation to be in, I guess. But bring it back, like your customer onboarding process, it which always should be, you know, reevaluated. And I guess like your new hires, that should be constantly tweaked, because like you mentioned earlier, the person who was in the job before will probably have a completely different way of going about work, because everyone's different, right? So for them, wouldn't necessarily work for you. I think, I guess trying to make the most out of onboarding can be a struggle. We've obviously mentioned earlier in the episode about things that startups, obviously, more often than not, they're not necessarily... these processes aren't fledged out like they'd hope. And that's just a part of being in a sort of startup environment. But do you have any tactical tips for CSMs on how to make the most out of their onboarding? Particularly like we just said, like if the company's resources aren't fully built out, like, you know, you've described, you know, a fantastic way that you onboard your new hires, but not everyone might be in the same position, I don't know, budget wise, they might not have the same sort of tech resources, or they might not necessarily just the bandwidth maybe, but they have that idea of where it would like to be in, you know, in their head for future. But yeah, how would you offer?
That's a great point. If you show up at a company that does not have onboarding, or maybe it's very minimal, I think it's an opportunity, right? So when I've shown up and there wasn't anything, I've built it out. So I built out, and it can be a very simple format too. It could be just an Excel spreadsheet or a Word document, but I actually would build out my own onboarding and things that I did in the first few weeks that were helpful for me. Because in my back of my mind, it's like the next person that joins could really benefit from this. It shows a ton of initiative, and I carried it with me over the years, and just, you know, it evolved, of course. And it also evolved to the role that I was in or the company. But I think it's a great opportunity to show initiative and also make a big impact on the company right off the bat. So I would say if there's nothing there, to, you know, build something out, even if it's a simple format and a checkbox of, you know, a list checklist of what you've done, it's super helpful. It'll help the next person, and it'll show, you know, your management that you're willing to make an impact even outside of, you know, your own day to day.
That's really reassuring to hear, because I think maybe particularly if you're new to the role, or, you know, new to your career in customer success, maybe you might feel a bit, oh, am I being a bit critical? Like they haven't done that. Am I just exposing that they're, but it's not that mindset at all, is it? You're not being, you know.
I mean, it's hey, you know, this was super helpful for me. These are the things that I did in the first weeks, or resources I found useful. And I created this sheet for the next person who joins. So, you know, I think, I can't speak for everyone, but I would really appreciate that if someone, you know, joined my team and did that. So I think right off the bat, that would make a huge impact and show again that you're taking initiative.
Yeah, it's a huge green flag. Absolutely. Oh, thank you. Unfortunately, I think we'll have to wrap up soon. But this has been a phenomenal chat. And I think there's been so many really, really good nuggets of very practical and applicable advice there. That's clearly just sort of, you know, born from your experience. You've done this a lot. But if anybody has, you know, like I've mentioned, this is quite a, I think it's quite a hot topic, and people, it will never not be relevant for people. So if anybody's listening and they have some questions that they might want to ask you, you know, it might be a specific situation, where's the best place for them to connect with you? Is LinkedIn good, or the Slack channel?
Yeah, absolutely. Slack channel or LinkedIn, either work. My door is always open. I love to meet others and network and collaborate. So if anyone has additional questions or things that maybe I missed that you think are beneficial to onboarding, I love that feedback as well.
Oh, brilliant. What I'll do is I'll share those links in the show notes so people can connect with you. Because I think, yeah, this is, like I said, such an important topic. And if you don't get this part right, the rest of what we're talking about, you know, onboarding customers, renewals, expansion, you know, monitoring their growth, it's not gonna work if you don't get this crucial part. So thank you, Jess. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grace. It was a great conversation. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to customersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSC website. But until then, see you next time.